of steel rolling through the night. Sparks are dancing in the smoke, the fire's raging wild. 100 waves of blackest coal, feed its burning hunger. A melting pot of glowing steel, a hell of frightened smoke. Smoke and fire, run and fire, steam and thunder, gonna roll you under. Rage and fury, gonna spell its name.
All right, we're back. Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, July 23rd, 2023. Things are, boy, I tell you, I get, when I just scan all the sites that I scan and see all the absolute sickness going on, the treason at so many levels. It's like fashionable to be a traitor now. And then they've got the nerves to call themselves patriot. Like Sheila Jackson Lee, George Soros. People are saying these things about him. He's a patriot. You buffoon. You know, they're putting these people in places of authority, in places of high visibility. What they're doing is perpetuating idiocracy, and the rest of us are sitting here, the steam, the pressure is just building in us because we're seeing purposeful sabotage, purposeful decimation of the entire system. I talk about this every year. Large groups of Jews are expected to flock Jerusalem's old city in the coming week. Wednesday marked the start of a period known as the 9 days, during which many religious Jews observed more stringent mourning practices in remembrance of the destruction of the two temples in Jerusalem more than 1,950 years ago. The period culminates in the fast of Tisha B'Av, the ninth of the Hebrew month of Av. This year, Tisha B'Av begins at nightfall on Wednesday, July 26th. So this Wednesday, Tisha B'Av. A lot of strange things happen on Tisha B'Av. And extends until sundown on Thursday, July 27th. Tens of thousands will sit on the ground and lament the destruction of the house of God in various prayers and traditions as befits this unifying site, the Western Wall Heritage Foundation announced on its website. I got Chabad's website up. Okay. And here's the ninth of Av, Tisha B'Av, commemorates a list of catastrophes so severe it's clearly a day set aside by God for suffering. Learn 7 historical events that took place on Tisha B'Av, the Jewish day of mourning. The spies return with a bad report. Now that's Joshua and back in the Pentateuch. Basically, Joshua and them went into the promised land and looked, and they saw giants, and they came back and they're like, hey, bunch of giants here. We ain't gonna be able to do squat. Anyway, both holy temples were destroyed. The battle at Betar was lost. The Romans plowed the Beit Hamikdash. The Jews were expelled from England. The Jews were banished from Spain. Both world wars began. And a bunch of other stuff happened. One year after the quest of Betar, the Romans plowed over the Temple Mount. Very interesting, this whole, and I cover it usually when I see it floating around in various platforms. So something interesting could happen, something might not happen. You've got thousands of people in some sort of rebellion / color revolution, whatever you want to call it. There's so much speculation about the events happening there in Israel. You've got this stuff with Netanyahu, this surgery happening, and I'm sure they probably won't do it on Tisha B'Av, but hell, you never know. It's 2023 and things are absolutely crazy. Climate maps manipulated to deceive people and keep the global warming scam going. So climate maps released by NOAA appear to have been manipulated to deceive people and keep the global scam going. Back in May, they released what's called a very informative climate maps that display the average temperature across the world in April 2023 compared with the climate normal. And so people are really looking at these news agencies and so forth about how, you know, they're all trying to do this doom porn. Now, if you listen to Dane Wigington, you know, he's like blowing the whistle like, hey, we're all dead and so forth. You know, and biblically, if you look at prophecy, the sun will be given power to scorch men's flesh and things of this nature. But Lord Monckton, what's up with that? You know, Europe's 48 degrees Celsius horror that never was. And so they show, you know, all this stuff and all these news agencies doing all this doom porn. They're scaring all these old people in the United States. Now, there is some strange phenomena that I felt, to where it felt like you're the air sitting still, sauna-like, like windows totally fogged up. Last week was very, very strange. But, you know, even people like Richie from Boston, you see some stuff for him, and he's like, man, the weather, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, man, I get it, but at the same time, I remember some scorchers back in the 70s. This is hard to say. Now, are they manipulating the weather? You're damn right they are. They are manipulating the weather to blame us for climate change. Okay, so you've got military level, NASA level applications being run on the jet stream, all this other stuff. And then they can say, Biden regime proposes ban on sale of portable gas generators, raising concerns for power outage reliance. Okay, so they're going after gas generators, gas stoves, all this stuff. Oh, water heaters now? You guys seen this floating around? Oh, your outdated water heater is causing too much of a footprint. Now, this was up on Henry McCow's site. 1979 Illuminati Manifesto to plan to enslave humanity. And this is basically, you know, your silent weapons for quiet wars. But I'm just going to read a couple of deals here, because it's, whether you say it was a fake or not, it is part of the template they're using. Silent weapons for quiet wars, report from Iron Mountain, that sort of stuff. The public cannot comprehend this weapon and therefore cannot believe that they are being attacked and subdued by a weapon. According to the document, the international elite decided in 1954 to wage a quiet war against the American people with the goal of shifting wealth from the irresponsible many into the hands of the responsible and worthy few. Well, in view of the law of natural selection, it was agreed. See, so now they're saying natural selection. They're going with Darwin. It was agreed that a nation or world of people who will not use their intelligence are no better than animals who do not have intelligence. Such people are beasts of burden and stakes on the table by choice and consent. Now, look, there's a half-truth there. We all know, we look around at these automatons walking around in our midst, that, you know, but at the same time, how much manipulation has been done to these people through multi-level, multifaceted, you know, warfare platforms, food, water, air, injections, flicker rates, ELF, that whole stuff out here. Okay? So let's see here. The goal was to establish an economy which is totally predictable and manipulatable. The masses will have to be trained and assigned a yoke from a very early age. To achieve such conformity, the family unit must be disintegrated by a process of increasing preoccupation of the parents and the establishment of government-operated daycare centers for the occupationally orphaned children. That's called a school. This is accomplished through silent weapons, propaganda, and social engineering applied in the media and schools. Think about how off the charts this stuff is now. What? In some of these universities, 20 and 30 and up to 30, almost 40% people saying that they identify as LGB, blah, blah, blah. When the silent weapon is applied, gradually the public adjusts until the pressure becomes too great and they crack up. Therefore, the silent weapon is a type of biological warfare. It attacks their sources of natural and social energy and their physical, mental, and emotional strength. Think about what's in those jabs. And think about all the stuff we heard about 10, 15 years ago about developing injections for soldiers that they wouldn't get tired as fast. They wouldn't be worried about killing. Kind of get rid of the whole, you know, accountability to God thing. The Pentagon was working on that. So I remember people reporting on that a long, long time ago. Now, Mr. Producer, get clip 9 ready. This is Dr. What was his name? The guy that just died under mysterious circumstances, Rashid Buttar. And he's talking at like a, you know, some sort of a conference. And this is kind of just a review of the theory, Todd Callender and some of these other researchers, but Buttar was on this too. Let's go ahead and play clip 9.
The hydrogel inside the vaccine has a sleeper cell in it, okay? I'm using that word that some people may understand. It's essentially a payload of pathogens that includes HIV, Marburg's virus. Marburg's causes hemorrhagic fever that has an 88% mortality, meaning that one exposure to 100 people will result in 88 of those 100 people dying. Now, that's already in the hydrogel, and it appears that the trigger that will release it will be a 18 gigahertz pulse released from the 5G networks, one minute sequence three times in a row will cause this release. I don't know how it's going to cause a release, whether it's the hydrogel that breaks down and releases it or activates the pathogens, I don't know. But when that happens, 88% statistically, just from the Marburg's aspect, are going to die.
All right, go ahead and stop that. Now, I find that interesting, 18 gigahertz. You know, you got your 666 there, 1 and 8 is 9, 3 times, 999. Very fascinating. Let's go ahead and get clip 10 ready. Now, since he talked about towers, and this is another review. I think I played this one probably when the whole 5G thing was rolling out. So everybody goes into lockdown, and then the acceleration or just the total blitz of installing these 5G towers happens. Let's go ahead and roll clip 10.
To broadcast the entire Earth, it takes 2 kilowatts, 2 hair dryers. Now, a microwave oven uses 1,000 watts or 1 kilowatt. Here's the damage 1 kilowatt can be done by somebody when they take a magnetron out of a microwave and turn it into a ray gun. This is just a small example of a low-tech weapon running on 1,000 watts. Then you have these things here, these huge towers of death. Now, each row in this tower, an array, or a set of dishes or antennas or whatever you want to call them, is connected to a cable with a maximum power output of 300,000 watts or 300 kilowatts. That's 300 microwave ovens. We base that conservative estimate based on the gauge of the cabling that's running up to one of these arrays. They're estimated at 300,000 watts per cable. Those aren't fiber optic cables running up to those arrays. It's a thick copper gauge transmission line quality cable running up those towers. Now, if there's 10 cables, that's like 3 megawatts of power. And these cables are out there to output power to the magnetron, not for data transfer. That's an important point. These cell phone towers are weaponized. There's no other reason to have this much power running up the cables. It isn't for data transfer. Now, FCC regulations limit normal transmission per array to about 400 watts. To put that into perspective, 1 watt from your phone can go 25 miles to the nearest tower. A 1,000-watt magnetron on a stick can blow shit up. And these towers have a 300-kilowatt power line running up to each rectenna. And who knows, there could be an amplifier at the top of these towers that steps up the power even more. The point is here, ladies and gentlemen, is that these companies, like Lucent and Google, could turn up the juice at any time and nuke a town. They could nuke the entire country without any warning, without anybody being able to protect themselves. They could cook them like a boiling frog in the middle of the night. This infrastructure is not only in place, it's built up with multiple levels of redundancy. Every big city has thousands of these death towers. And all that needs to happen is for an AI from Google or whoever to come in and nuke everybody at once and take over. Who out there remembers that movie Terminator? Well, Google doesn't have to send a Terminator to every door or launch a nuclear strike. It can just turn on these cell phone towers to maximum and cook everybody within the city limits within an hour. And then just send in the Terminators to mop up the countryside.
All right, so you get it. You know, and everybody talked about this being a military application. Now, are they going to use this to cook large swaths of us at some certain point in time? How long have I been talking about these towers being basically the enemy? And I knew it from when I was a kid and I saw the first cameras going up at streetlights. I wanted to grab a BB gun and start shooting them then. But these towers, this is going to enforce the social credit stuff, the central bank digital currency stuff. Without those towers, it's not going to happen. Okay, this stuff is tying into what these people have taken into their bodies with these injections. We all know it. We can all feel it deep down inside. Now, whether there's a payload embedded in these folks or not, that's debatable. It's plausible, but, you know, just quite insane. Now, there's an article up on Leo Zagami's website. Now, Zagami's like a old-school Italian Freemason, kind of former Illuminati guy. So what's interesting, he's talking about the attack on Christianity continues in Muslim-dominated France because of liberal Freemasonry. Doesn't mention Jews at all. He just uses leftist-controlled Freemasonry and the Illuminati. Okay, priests are under constant threat. At what point will France's progressive Freemasonry and open-border politicians be held responsible? Well, we know that that's code for basically Jews and probably the Jesuits. You remember Alberto Rivera from the Chick publications? He was like a Jesuit that left the order and blew the whistle on all kinds of stuff about the Jesuits. And he basically said that the Roman Catholic Church started Sunni Islam. Okay, and we know about Muhammad, one of his wives being Fatima, and this whole story and all that stuff. But he, a lot of these guys in that sector, they say that the Black Pope is actually the head of World Freemasonry. And Albert Pike and the Scottish Rite and the Skull and Bones, these societies and so forth, are all subservient to the Black Pope. You know, and that's debatable. Other people say no, Jewry is the head of World Freemasonry. Others say no, the Crown of England and the English nobility is the head of World Freemasonry. So everybody argues about all this. But just to get back to his article, while in theory the Islamic belief that Freemasonry works against their religion should prohibit them from affiliating with the Brotherhood, there's a secret alliance going on between Islam and the Grand Orient of France, which counts amongst its members Emmanuel Macron. Proof of the secret alliance between Islam and Freemasonry is found in the glorious cohort of eminent figures revered by French Freemasonry in what is considered the most prestigious Masonic temple in France. Here you can find a portrait of Amir Abdelkader, an Algerian Islamic scholar, Sufi, and Freemason who unexpectedly found himself leading an unsuccessful military campaign against the French colonial invasion of Algiers in the early 19th century, inspired by the short-lived reign of the highly contested King Charles X, who wanted to revive the monarchy by divine right in France and opposed the constitutional monarchy imposed by the Freemasons and the Grand Orient of France and the Illuminati. And it goes on and on. It's an interesting article where it talks about, okay, these guys are responsible for the invasion of France and so forth. But history shows us, as we talked about earlier, with Spain, basically organized Jewry, you know, inviting in, basically letting down the gates and bringing in the Muslim invaders and so forth. And remember Barbara Spector and all these people. And we've got the whole Kalergi plan. And so this goes on and on. People argue this stuff out. But this is an interesting, you know, thing to kind of try to flesh out and look at it, you know, mathematically and be like, which makes the most sense and so forth. Now, Mr. Producer, get clip 14 ready. I'm going to kind of move on into something else, but Mer Bailey sent me a link about Kobe Bryant. And, you know, I went into a deep dive in that whole Kobe Bryant, the Mamba stuff, and all the symbology with his death as that occurred. I remember doing that show. Now my dad and my aunt were both still alive at that time. But we're going to go ahead and play clip 14 just to add a little something to it about Big Pharma. Go ahead and roll 14.
Into the pharmaceutical connection. John Kapoor, the big investor of high-tech pharmaceuticals and executive of Insys Therapeutic Corporation, is now serving 66 months in prison for lacing his Black Mamba Hyper Rush energy pills with opioids. Kobe Bryant was in the process of suing the company for brand infringement. Now with this case, we have Insys Therapeutics, an Acorn pharmaceutical company, which owns high-tech pharmaceuticals. Kobe Bryant was scheduled to go to court on January 29th, 2020, to expose these companies, but he died on January 26th. What is so strange about this? Other than the fact that Kobe died, I discovered that Jeff Stibel owns high shares and stocks in all three of these pharmaceutical companies. Teva Pharmaceuticals and Novartis were involved in the largest cartel case in history involving price fixing of their drugs. This was so huge, it involved 44 states. Did you even hear about this? Apotex is a Canadian pharmaceutical company created by Barry Sherman, a member of the Jewish Congress in Canada. Barry Sherman and his wife were involved in a honeypot scandal of sending a woman to Teva Pharmaceuticals in Israel to seduce a high-ranking executive to get him to extract information about the patent for Azilect, the cure for Parkinson's disease. They were successful in stealing the patent, and although didn't admit to patent infringement, he dubbed himself the Robin Hood of pharmaceuticals. As a result, Teva out of Israel lost billions of dollars over this loss. Barry and his wife Honey were found strangled to death in their home in 2017. I also discovered that Apotex was a partner of the Clinton Foundation, and they provided generic vaccines to the Clintons' Haiti project. Whether they knew too much about the Clintons or were murdered by the Mossad, you be the judge. Speaking of murder, Patrick Soon-Shiong was a mentor to Kobe Bryant, bought the LA Times, and owned lots of stock in Teva and Novartis, the companies Kobe was going to expose.
Just an interesting twist on the Kobe Bryant death. Very, it's just, you know, incident coinkadinks that happen in this world. What can you do? Just wicked, wicked things abound. So at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to open the phones up. Anybody wants to call in if you got something pertinent to add, if you're just calling in to, you know, if you got something to drop, some intelligence to drop, I'd appreciate it. If you just want to talk, you know, I got a lot of material here to try to get to, but let's see here. At the bottom of the hour, I'm going to play this Bobby Lee recording. Now, Bobby Lee's an Asian comic. And very, very disturbing stuff that this guy recorded during a podcast. And I'm going to play that when we come back. Buried news. Bums, illegals, addicts, and criminals double their assaults in hospitals. How's this as a consequence of radical leftist policies that coddle society's troublemakers? So you're going to freaking pay out $13 million to these BLM people that are looting and doing things to cops and property damage and everything else. As of Sunday, the San Diego Union-Tribune ran a page one above the fold story by Paul Sisson, headline, "Hospitals in the County Look for Ways to Cut Attacks on Workers," which is an important story needed because it points to the consequences to innocent hospital workers of constantly coddling bums, illegals, drug addicts, and criminals, all of whom were named as perpetrators in the piece. For some strange reason, the story not there on the San Diego Union-Tribune's website, and I looked and looked, and I don't think it's a time delay, as there are other significant page one stories up on the site, one about the sleazy world of Fat Leonard, who is linked to corruption in the Navy, and another on Comic-Con, for example. But this story is somehow not up there. Maybe it's an innocent overlooking. Maybe it's a mistake. Maybe it's a legal issue. Maybe I'm a bad at search. Maybe there was something wrong with the story and it was pulled, but it appears well reported in the paper edition, and the correspondent is a veteran healthcare reporter, so I am skeptical it was that. What I am less skeptical about is that, in light of the sensitive content of the city's ruling leftists, is just they don't want this important story getting out there. So, yeah, they'll put it out into the paper edition, because it's just going to go around there in San Diego County. But they don't want it going on the website because it'll just bring attention to San Diego's free fall collapse. Now, up on America First Report, the demise of San Francisco should concern all Americans. And it gets into all the stuff we've been talking about this whole time. But think about Chinatown in San Francisco. Think about the friendly nature with the Jacobin Democrat Party and the Communist Chinese. They're cleaning out parts of California for the Chinese to come in, buy up, and redevelop, and so forth and so on. Let's keep that in mind. All right, we'll see you on the other side.
And together we will wound. Together we will run.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
The doorway holds a file of letters. The weeds in the yard grow oh so high. The clocks in the house have all stopped ticking, but the beat of my heart grows stronger with each stride. Guitar hangs loosely from my shoulder. Old boots on my feet with newspaper inside. An eye to the sky where the sun sets at night. I'll follow it to the edge and then beyond. and if you know me, I've gone to see the world and give the last that I have left. It's not for anyone to understand, but out on the stage any night could be my last.
All right, we're back. Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Let's take Paul in California real quick before we play the clip. What's on your mind, Paul?
I got to say, before I start to go on my little rant, that was a really cool piece of music we just heard there. Very, very interesting.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, so, you know, good thing we won World War II, huh? So otherwise we'd all be speaking German.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
that clip that you played about the cell towers, I've heard stuff like that before, but I got to tell you, that was just very frightening. And also at the same time, it's very real. But it makes me think in these terms, right? So I guess when they get sick of us paying our monthly cell phone plans, paying our taxes and everything that we pay taxes on, right? Paying our mortgages, paying our rent, paying... You know, all the stuff, I guess, when they get sick of us, you know, making them rich, they could nuke us, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's I don't deny it, but at the same time, it's I feel like we're crazy to not believe it, but we're also crazy to believe it.
Yeah. Well, think about how I played the Rashid Buttar clip about, like, bursts of energy coming from those towers that could somehow, you know, unlock the what he called a sleeper cell in the hydrogel or whatever, that, you know, to where it would deploy the payload. And then I was like, I might as well just play the next video where it talks about the payload's not even necessary. Hell, if they want to barbecue us at a certain point in time, I guess they could barbecue us, drive us all crazy, drive us all to kill each other, like what was that, Crimson Contagion or whatever in Rwanda, where allegedly they did some brain scrambling experiment to get the Hutus and the Tutsis to go after each other. I mean, that's some strange stuff.
Yeah, you know, and I've seen the robustness of some of these cables going into. I mean, some of these little places that are set up, it's like a little mini power station right there next to it, and you can actually look at the cables running up there, and they're so thick.
Right.
That's why
I really come to this thing about this is a monitoring system, this is a manipulation system, and this is going to it's like the real time monitoring system for millions upon millions upon millions of people, and I guess for it to be able to collate all that data instantaneously into the, you know, the monitoring system or cabal or whatever you want to call it.
Right. Well, see, that's when you said that thing about putting up the cameras and, you know, the feelings that you had. Of course, I've had these kind of feelings for a long time. I saw this stuff happening, you know, in the Bay Area where it just seemed like they were putting up, it didn't make any sense to me. In other words, all these little, what I call meaningless intersections, because in the megalopolis, like with the Bay Area, there's a lot of major, you know, significant intersections, and there's all kinds of little, you know, what I call podunk intersections and neighborhoods, right? And yet every single time, it's like they're putting up cameras almost everywhere. And I pictured this sort of like a Minority Report type of situation where if they got the license plate reader hookup or the facial recognition, they literally could just keep track of anybody. Okay, look, there's Robert Rayfold, he's on the move. Oh, look, he's going to see his friend over here. You know, they literally could just have, you know, a list, which I'm sure they do, of anybody they want. And, you know, you get out, you drive around, and they're going to know where you're going, what you're doing, just based upon, you know, this setup that they have. They've been having, everybody's heard the word quantum computing. They've had something like that for a very long time. When you, it's like Alex Jones is correct when he talks about when you hear about something, they've already had it for 20 years. I can hear you. take it over. I don't have any material in front of me. Live radio.
All right, all right. We're back. Yeah, I had a little hiccup there. Kicked me off Skype.
I was waiting for a reaction from you, and all of a sudden, here we go.
Yeah, I apologize, man.
No worries. But yeah. Well, before I go, the other thing I'll leave you with real quick is I also have seen, maybe you've seen this in the St. Louis area as well, I don't know, but they replaced a lot of these stoplight poles with things that are much more robust. They almost seem unnecessarily industrial. Things that are, in many cases, the poles themselves that support the stoplights and so forth, not double, but even sometimes three times or more as thick and robust. And I can't help but think that there's some kind of gear inside of there, right? Otherwise, why would need to go?
Sure. Well, you know, how long ago were they talking about the shotgun detectors and all this other stuff? And so, yeah, unfortunately, right up under our eye, under our noses, is the – remember in New York City they had those strange, like, cylinders, and everybody was wondering what the hell that was that were going up by the subways and all this? Yeah, so who knows – I mean, this is all military intelligence capabilities, intelligence gathering, probably manipulation of some sort of people's dispositions and this sort of thing. Very, very trippy stuff. So anything else?
No, that's it. It's literally the outer limits and the twilight zone from back in the day come to where we're living in real life. And on the one hand, it's fascinating. On the other hand, it's frightening. Another great show tonight.
All right. Well, hey, thanks. But, you know, it's fascinating. You know what's fascinating is how people can take part in this mass enslavement and think somehow they are going to, because they cooperated in this long march through the institutions, that they are going to be somehow given reprieve from the cabal, as old Harari says. See, they're not. They're going to be depopulated with everyone else, enslaved, chipped, tracked, barcode, yeah, whatever you want to call this. And so that's the real fascinating part, is the psychological phenomenon of people that want to join in this digital technocratic new, you know, like Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun, but you know, it all rhymes. And so how humans can take part in that, it's just mind blowing when, you know, how they can do this. So,
well, their options are limited. And as I've discovered, I'm sure you have discovered it in your life, very few people have the backbone and the intelligence that you do. That I do, and that other people do, and it's a disappointment all the time to see how easily they're just swayed around and moved around with a little financial incentive or fear of loss, you know, like fear of loss.
Yeah. So what's going to be interesting is when they do this reorganization, this 1933 2.0, into trying to implement this this new financial system and see how people go. Unfortunately, I think a lot of people already are far gone with it, because they do every transaction they do with some sort of a card, or they tap their phone or do this stupid stuff. So, the Nigerians, I'm reading articles where they're not going for their little central bank digital currency. Only like a small percentage of their people are even dealing with it. And even though they're taking cash out of circulation, there's so few of them. So we'll see. Hopefully the spirit of rebellion against this goofy stuff really takes hold. Hopefully COVID could work against them. And when they try to pull this next virus thing, whatever. People just say, you know, screw you. But we'll have to see.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a rising contempt. You can already feel it now, but there's a contempt out there for the Tesla driving cooperators, the guys that are always tapping. Like you say, I see it now. They tap their card or they tap their phone. Meanwhile, I'm sitting there with cash in my pocket, you know, and I know that I don't like it when I see it, and I'm sure that I'm not alone. And I think as things become more clear, we can hope for a rising tide of resentment where maybe that some of these people are going to get turned on, deservedly or not. And, yeah, so, all right, well, listen, thanks for the show
all
so
right.
far. I'll let you get back to your material.
All right, take care, man. Let's see here. I wanted to get to this real quick. Mr. Producer, have that clip 11. Now, this is comedian Bobby Lee. Now, there's some bad language in here, but this I'm putting this in here for posterity due to the fact that this is what's so crazy. He says, I'm risking my career telling this story. Now, he's on there with another Asian guy, David Cho. He's on his podcast. And then also sitting in is an Asian female porn star named Asa Akira. And so this is a three-way conversation. Go ahead and play clip 11.
These disgusting pigs are super into assaulting trafficked children, and I'm not over-exaggerating. Bobby Lee assaulted a little girl who was trafficked in Tijuana and told the story on David Cho's podcast with Asia in the background. Both of these two cackling the entire time while Bobby talked about the girl crying and seeing the snot bubbles come down her face, and that made him do her harder.
Now, Bobby Lee went to Tijuana for some schmex tourism. He could have gone to Las Vegas or any place, but no, he went to the place notorious for child schmex trafficking. And here's what he had to say.
I put the condom on, and she's really cold, you know? I feel so bad telling this story.
Girls are always cold.
And so I stick it in. It's very tight. Right, and then the moon is shining through
Did
a
you
little
use the
crack.
Loop?
No, the moon is shining through the window in a little crack.
Okay.
Right,
very romantic.
Yeah, very romantic. yeah. And then her head turns, and the moon. I see her face.
Yeah,
and you can see tears coming down her face and snot bubbles, and she's shaking.
Okay. Why are you smiling, dude?
I did what anyone else would do. I power fucked her.
What you just heard is real. But that's not all. David Cho starts to act out the horrifying scene we just heard.
She was standing against the wall like this?
Yeah, like that, yeah.
And then she turned around?
Yeah, maybe she was showing off her ass. Like, this is good shit.
She was crying and snot.
Maybe she wasn't even a hooker. Maybe she was, like, waiting for her mom.
But these guys think they are untouchable. Just listen to the beginning of this clip.
I'm going to be completely honest with you. This story could ruin my career.
Shut up.
It could ruin me.
What?
Bobby, yeah. Hold on.
Did you kill someone?
Nothing can ruin your career. Nothing can ruin Asa's career, and nothing can ruin my career. We're the three people here that have unruinable. You're a fucking comedian.
Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on.
Yeah, you heard that. He thinks he cannot be canceled. In fact, he's known for horrible things and says, if you want to come and try to cancel me, that's okay. This wasn't even related to this podcast, by the way. Still got a Hulu deal. He's still making money left and right.
All right, go ahead.
This has been
there.
Out for a little
while. But yeah, this guy can sit there and, I mean, it's insane. Let's take Murr in Wisconsin. Murr, come on up.
Oh, hi, Robert. Yeah, that made me remember Bob Saget, you know, who said he was with the Olsen twins, right, how they, you know, they used both of them, but take turns, right? And someone asked, and he was always saying nasty stuff, right? And so someone asked him how he could tell them apart, and he told him, you know, one of the names that she swallowed, all right? And where was he found? In his hotel bed with a busted head, right?
Yeah.
Need some more of that action.
Well, some people think that the vax made him fall and crash his head. That's, remember they were saying that at first.
Yeah, well, whatever. I don't care. That's even better, actually, you know. Let God deal with him. But I was thinking about Jim Stone. Of course, that's not his real name, but we know. And, you know, his last post was June 16th.
Yeah, I keep looking at that, and ain't nothing going on. I wonder what happened to him.
Yeah, I don't know. He might be a goner, you know. Might be, just can't post anything, whatever. But, you know, as it turns out, it's through the wife and the Jews posing as Christians, going after him. And he tested it out, right?
He got his arm all messed up and that whole deal. It's just like, geez.
Yeah, his arm was broken and there was money coming in to fix it and she took it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Claudia. Claudia is her name, yeah.
Yeah, Claudia, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but the bit he said about Iran was great, you know, because he always handed around different things. He was there, and he didn't say too much about it. But he really put it in there this time, what he did. That was just as good, if not better, than Fukushima, you know, where he kept them from going in there and going after him. You know, They were going to, you know, but he they were bringing things in through the films. So, and I remember reading that, how they wouldn't let any movies into the country, you know, like that was a bad thing or whatever. But so, that's how they were getting stuff in and out. So, that's a thought.
Yeah.
You know, but he, what was the other thing? Of course, Fukushima, you know, but, and I guess he was with Russia and China, he had some stuff too, but what he was saying...
That's what caused him and Jeff Rentz to really kind of butt heads, was when Jim Stone said they popped a nuke off to cause the tsunami.
Oh, yeah, and it wasn't just that. Rentz won't admit that they had Israeli security there. But on Giuseppe's show one time, I got to... they had Henry Macko, and that's how he pronounces his name, he says, you know, and so I was saying to Willie the other day that... He goes, "Oh, you mean Macko?" And Macko, and I always said it like that. But I had a Russian friend long ago said, "You know, it's not Moscow, it's not a cow, it's Moscow." So it does kind of make sense. But so I got to tell him, and he understood what I was saying. You know, it was just a couple hours after that was posted, and Macko had posted on Rentz's site for 12 years. You know, they were friends. And he had it on.
I remember that whole dust up with, and then Mac, I was putting all that stuff about.
Oh yeah, he still got that.
And having all them wives and all that crap.
Oh, he's got that on the site still. I mean, that's history, man. He's got it right there. But the thing was, I got to tell him that I would go around. I was only posting once a day on Godlike, which I call Godish, and it was on a thread. The Rothschild dare not say their name, whatever. From that article Ike had put out on Alex Jones' show. And then, you know, so this was 2011, yeah. So it was May when he came out with that report, and it was in Macko's site on Rentz's site. And, you know, I see, most plagiarized site, you know, on the web, right? So I said, oh, okay, so I'm posting it, and I'm giving everybody credit, you know, Rentz, Macko, Jim Stone, right? And... It was almost no time before that just all blew up. So that let me know that Godish is connected, right? Rentz is connected. Mm-hmm. You know, all of them are connected, right? But apparently Macko was out of the loop, right? So he really appreciated when I told him, you know. So that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. So Tish B'Av's coming up, Murr. What do you think?
Oh, Lord. I don't know what they might... You know, I'll find out some things, and I'll see patterns, and I'm like, but, you know, what am I missing? I mean, there's so much that they do, and it evolves so much, you know, and through history and everything, but it's all interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And great show, Robert. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take care.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. Wanted to get this one in. Mr. Producer, get clip 12 ready. Your Wi-Fi router and the ability to most likely read your mind. Go ahead and play 12.
Of course, it goes further. So in this one, they said, can they understand the inner monologue, the things you're saying to yourself in your own mind? Mind you, by the way, when you dream, your visual cortex runs in reverse, so your dreams are no longer safe. But we'll try this. So they had people watch a video and just narrate what was going on in the video in their mind. So there's a woman, she gets hit in the back, she falls over. This is what the computer reconstructed the person thinking. See a girl, looks just like me, get hit in the back, and then she is knocked off. So our thoughts, are starting to be decoded. Yeah, Just think about what this means for authoritarian states, for instance. Or if you want to generate images that maximally activate your pleasure sensor, anything else. Okay, but let's keep going, right? To really get the sense of the combinatorics of this. How about, can we go from Wi-Fi radio signals, you know, sort of like the Wi-Fi routers in your house, they're bouncing off radio signals that work sort of like sonar. Can you go from that to where human beings are, to images? So what they did is they had, you know, a camera looking at a space with people in it. That's sort of like coming in from one eye. The other eye is the radio signals, so sonar from the Wi-Fi router. And they just learned to predict, like, this is where the human beings are. Then they took away the camera. So all the AI had was the language of radio signals bouncing around a room. And this is what they're able to reconstruct. Real-time 3D pose estimation, right? So suddenly AI has turned every Wi-Fi router into a camera that can work in the dark, specially tuned for tracking living beings.
All right, I'm going to stop that there. And then if you would get 13 ready, Mr. Producer, that's mind-blowing stuff. And this is about the Saudis and the UAE electronic weather control, and they're turning Saudi Arabia and parts of the UAE green by weather manipulation. And think about what they're doing to us in our country with these heat domes. Now, let's play this, Mr. Producer, but if the music pops up, kind of turn the music down to where we can listen to a couple minutes of this. Go ahead and roll 13.
Cloud ionization. All of this is out of, you know, Dubai, United Arab Emirates, Abu Dhabi. This is a big thing out there. Because the United Arab Emirates is using that oil money to get everybody from around the world to compete to see who can make it rain in the desert, who can turn the desert green.
And they're driving through Saudi Arabia, and it's all desert that's been turned green. That's what they're talking about, this little part.
They want to green that desert. One way or another. So right now, we're at this critical juncture where silver iodide has not worked. They cannot prove it works. There is no weather control. There is weather modification. They could be actually creating a drought when they think they're going to make it rain. They have no idea what's going to go on. The United States Department of Agriculture had a guy come out to Texas and started seeding with electrified water. Literally just spraying electrified water out of the back of plane and using cloud ionizers as well. In the UAE, they started putting cloud ionizers on the backs of drones to make it rain. So this is the new trend.
We have started the ion generator just 10 minutes before. And you can hear the voice of it.
They're showing you ionization
techniques. Yeah. They don't have to add chemicals. There's already chemicals up there. There's dust, there's mold, there's spores, there's bacteria, all of these things. If you just give them that static spark, those negatively charged particles, they will attract water vapor to the chemicals that are already up there, and they actually pull pollution out of the atmosphere. What do you think? You think I'm full of crap? Or do you think that maybe there's a possibility that they're all just screwing with the weather, causing climate chaos, and that they really can't control anything? They don't have power that they think they have, because control is an illusion.
All right, folks, there's the end of the broadcast. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll see how this all goes. I got something up this week very, very shortly for all of us. Take care, everybody. I hope it comes out quickly for the winter starts to fall. We gotta get going quickly and we got to come on strong. I know just what I want and I'll get it before too long. Before the winter starts to fall. I'm taking heed of your Earth's gold.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.